pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
With liberty and justice for all. Good evening, Global Patriots. You're listening to Global Patriot Radio, the Vito Esposito Show. I'm Vito. Our call-in number tonight in every Global Patriot Radio night is area code 319-527-6706. That's area code 319-527-6706. And I'm joined by that great American Big Al. How you doing, Al?
I'm doing great, Vito. Good to be here as always. How are you, sir?
I am doing well, thank you. It is Monday, March the 25th. It's great to be here as well. It's great to open up with the only national anthem in the United States, and that is the Star Spangled Banner. So, you know, to all you others out there who think there are other national, let's see, what do you call national anthems, no, there's one. It's called the Star Spangled Banner. Did you happen to watch any of the PGA at Innisbrook in Tampa this past weekend, the Valspar Championship?
I did indeed.
What a great tournament. It was at, the ending was absolutely – you couldn't script Sunday's round any better. The possibility of a player who's not qualified for the Masters in 3 weeks to get an invite by winning the Valspar Championship. So there are three – PGA events remaining in order for a player to get into the Masters. You get an invite, automatic invite by winning. It's the Valspar. Next week it's the Texas Children, and then it's the Valero Texas Open. You win any if you do not have an invite into the Masters and you win one of those tournaments, you get in automatically. So Sunday's final round came down to Cameron Young and Peter Malnati. Now, Cameron Young is in by virtue of being in the top 50 world ranking in the world, but he's not won a tournament yet on the PGA Tour in 3 years. 2 years. Peter Malnati, he is a journeyman. He had one win back in 2015, but he's never played in the Masters. I think he's played in a total of three majors altogether, you know, in his long career. So Cam Young's never won, but he's consistently in the top, you know, in the top 50 the last 2 years, which is a great testament to this young man's play. So you got Malnati and Young. They're tied going into the 17th hole. Now, Young, Cameron Young is playing. He's one group ahead of Malnati, who's in the final group. Malnati birdies the par 3 17th. He hits a shot to like 4 feet, and he makes the putt. He takes a one-shot lead over Young, who's a group ahead of Malnati. Young, who hit a poor drive on the 18th hole, he pulled his drive. Now, he's usually a pretty straight driver, hits the ball a ton. He hits it so long. But under pressure, he's been known to kind of get the yips, and he did. But he's 122 yards out. He's got a difficult shot, approach shot to the green. It's a blind shot. He's got to go through a little window of trees, which those guys can do really easy. And 122 yards is not difficult, so to speak. So Cameron Young gets through. He hits a gap wedge to like 50 feet, but he had to hit it to the right side of the green, and unfortunately the pin was on the left side of the green, so he left a 50-foot putt. So Malnati, so they walk up to the green. And now Malnati's teeing off. Malnati hits a drive right down the middle, just absolutely pipes it to 137 yards. While this is going on, Young, who's a good putter, actually, he puts his first putt, and he leaves it like 12 feet short. He absolutely misread it. Then again, the pressure, I'm sure, got to him. It's usually what's happened to this young man when he's vying for contention. Something happens. It breaks down. He leaves a 12-foot putt for a par. He's got a par because he's one shot back, and then he hopes that Malnati bogeys 18, which is difficult, and they get into a playoff. Well, unfortunately for Cameron Young, He three putts for a bogey. Now he's two shots behind. Malnati's in the center of the fairway, 137 yards out. He stiffs a wedge, a nine iron. He sticks it uphill. He stiffs a nine iron to, like, I don't know, 18 feet. And his playing partner, who is Mackenzie Hughes of Canada, hit his approach shot to about 30 feet. So Mackenzie Hughes is first to putt. He putts and – no, excuse me. Mackenzie Young hits to about 15 feet inside of Malnati. Malnati puts his 18-footer, and he leaves it on the edge, like 6 inches. He marks it, which is good because you don't want the crowd going wild as your playing partner, you know, is having to complete his round in the hole. And Mackenzie actually birdies the hole to finish at 9 under par. Malnati's already at 13 under. Malnati taps in, and he wins his second PGA tournament. He gets into the Masters for the very first time. And to NBC Sports' delight, Malnati gave an emotional post-round interview while holding his son. But he thanked his wife, and he thanked his wife for her patience and her support. His wife is Dr. Malnati. She's a PhD, a psychologist, a sports psychologist, which probably really helped. And she wrote a book, so hopefully Cam Young and Peter Malnati can read it. But great win by Peter Malnati. It was fantastic. I really enjoyed it. I don't know about you, but it was really good.
Well, it's good to see. I mean, the Masters is the holy grail of golf tournaments, and to be able now to be invited to it, that is so huge. And he did get that relief on 16, which is probably the one key element to his victory. He had a terrible lie on the 16th, but his foot was on a sprinkler head. And rightfully so, within the rules, you're allowed a free drop. He called in the rules specialist. The rules specialist said, okay, you get the drop. Then he was on the shorter rough and had a much easier shot in, which probably saved the tournament for him. And then he made double sure from the referee, this is good. I'm going to hit now. And he said, absolutely. And off he went. No controversy at all. So congratulations to Malnati.
Yeah, wasn't that kind of cool the way he asked the referee? He said, look, I'm not taking any, you know, he said, what did he say? Something about I'm not taking any undue advantage or something like that. So he wanted to make absolutely sure that he was playing within the rules. And that was a class act by Malnati.
Yeah, he said, hey, look, referee, this is really going to help me out a lot. Is it okay if I do it?
Oh, it's a great break. That's right. He said, this is a great break, isn't it? So this gets done, and right before it's done, I get a text from Holzer, and he says, you got to watch the LPGA. I'm really nervous. It's like, all right, so I change it over to Golf Channel, and the LPGA had the Fur Hills Sayre Pock Championship in California. And that turned out to be a great final round. So Nelly Korda has been off for 7 weeks. She's the world's number one in ladies professional golf. And she got off to a slow start on Thursday. It's also a four rounds. And by the end of Saturday or the start of Sunday, she jumps out into the lead. She's got a two-shot lead going into the 17th hole, her 17th hole. And she bogeys 17. She bogeys 18. Ryan O'Toole had birdied the par 5 16th, and then Ryan birdies the 17th hole, and now she's tied with Nelly Korda because Nelly Korda's two bogeys. So now she forces a playoff. Nelly's bogey on the 18th dropped her to 9 under, which joined Ryan O'Toole. And two American ladies now are in a playoff. On the very first playoff hole with Nelly Korda and Ryan O'Toole, they both hit poor drives. O'Toole's drive was worse. She hit a tree and it came right down. But I got to tell you, this lady knocked a shot from the rough. She knocks it on the green to like 18 feet. It was an absolutely beautiful shot. Nelly's also in the rough, and she's about 3 yards from where she was in regulation, where she made a bogey. She hit an 8-iron from 47 yards, and she knocks it to 17 feet. She's like a foot inside of O'Toole. So now O'Toole has to drain her putt, you know, she putts first. If she drains the putt, it's going to force Korda to drain her putt. O'Toole misses her birdie putt, and she taps in for a par. Nellie Korda, in order to keep the or to stop the playoff, she's got to drain this 17-footer for a birdie, and she'll win her second LPGA Tour victory in two consecutive starts. Now, she hasn't played in 7 weeks, though. And it'll be her 10th LPGA tournament. Well, bam, man. Nellie Korda drains her birdie putt from 17 feet dead center to win the Fur Hills Sayre Pack Championship. She wins her 10th LPGA tournament. She vaults the 25-year-old Nellie Korda vaults to number one in the world, although she was number two or number three. It was just absolutely a great finish. I mean, the Viking was at which end? With four holes to go in regulation play, and you know, he thought for sure that Nellie Korda's caddy just blew it for her, and they miscalculated and misjudged the wind, they misjudged the elevation, and it was kind of a rookie mistake actually for the caddy to make, as well as Korda to make. But is it rust? I don't know. But anyways, Nellie Korda gets the win. She gets her 10th LPGA Tour victory. So congratulations to Nellie Korda. And congratulations to Ryan O'Toole, because O'Toole played great to finish her round in regulation with birdies on 15 and 17 to force the playoff with Nellie Korda. So. And then the last of golf news. Oh, go ahead, Al. Did you want to say something?
No. Go on.
All right.
We're going to the last place.
The last for golf news. Donald J. Trump, the 45th President of the United States, wins the club championship senior division at his club at Trump International. What a great – the 77-year-old won the club championship in the senior division at the Trump International. This is a tough course. It's 7,400 yards from the back, though. They don't play 7,400 yards, okay, as a senior. They probably play closer to maybe 6,300, 6,600 yards. But still, at 77 years old, to be able to hit the ball like he does, what were you saying, Al? He hits a 9-iron, 140 yards?
145, which is very, very quite spectacular. So
I hit a 9-iron, 145 yards. I mean, that's pretty damn good.
Yeah, and you're a good player. I hit it 130. So I'm impressed and in awe of President Trump. And President Biden couldn't leave it alone, could he? Couldn't be the statesman, could he?
No, why? What happened?
Well, he sent out a tweet. A snarky little tweet. Joe Biden tweeted, "Congratulations, Donald. Quite the accomplishment."
Well, it actually was, because it was the second time in a row that Donald Trump won the club championship in the senior division. And with all the efforts of the deep state, of the cabal trying to derail, you know, President Trump has an immense focus. The guy is impeccable at what he does. I mean, for him to win the senior club championship is fantastic. I mean, Joe Biden doesn't have the mental capacity to even carry a golf bag, let alone walk and carry a golf bag and hit a golf ball.
Hell, he can't even climb up the stairs of his jet. They had to move him to the baby stairs in the back of the plane because it's a little less rigorous. But that all aside, it was very snarky and condescending what Joe Biden said. Congratulations on quite the accomplishment. And what he was doing was a passive-aggressive attack on President Trump winning the club championship at Trump International Golf Club and winning it at his own course. So in a backhanded way, he was saying, oh, that's quite the accomplishment. You won the championship at your own course. implying all kinds of negative innuendo, however you want to take it. So Joe Biden is just a snarky little piece of crap. If he even wrote it, I don't know if he had the had the ability. Well, I guess he does have the ability to be a snarky little passive-aggressive piece of human debris, but to do that just shows a lack of character. It shows a lack of statesmanship, and it shows how much he is truly afraid of Donald Trump.
Well, yes.
Donald Trump, in his tweet, he was very gracious. He said, in his Trump regarding his win, he said, "It is my great honor to be at Trump International Golf Club in West Palm Beach tonight, awards night, to receive the club championship trophy and the senior club championship trophy. I won both. A large and golfing talented membership, a great and difficult course, made the play very exciting. The qualifying and match play was amazing. A large and distinguished group will be there tonight. Very exciting. Thank you." He thanked everybody who participated in the tournament, and that is what's called class and grace. That is something that Joe Biden will never have, can never be taught, because he doesn't understand it.
The left just can't take it. They just can't take it. They can't take any success by Donald Trump, including winning the club champion, winning a club championship. So, you know, screw them and the Obama alumni.
Yeah.
You know,
screw them and the horse they rode in on.
And at least Donald Trump doesn't have to wear senior sneakers, so he can still walk.
Or depends.
or depends. Oh. So, speaking of depends, this is a Kamala Harris funny. I here we go. So the music is from Puerto Rico. And, you know, the Vice President of the United States, borders our Kamala Harris, was in Puerto Rico to drum up support for the failed Biden and borders our Harris and Obama alumni regime. And there's borders our Harris standing in front of a 6-person band, and they're playing this music. Okay? They're playing this music. And standing next to Kamala Harris on her right is a female aide, and she's talking to Harris. As Harris is standing there smiling with that big smile, and she's clapping. And there's a male who's standing to Border Czar Harris's left, and so when Border Czar Harris starts clapping, so does this male. And then the female aide looks, she turns her head to Border Czar Harris and says one last thing, and suddenly Border Czar Harris goes, and she stops clapping. And her face, she's trying to maintain a smile. And, you know, the dimwit was just told that the 6-person band playing this music that you're standing in front of is singing a protest song for your visit. And so this dummy stands there, Border Czar Harris, and she's got this stupid smirk on her face, trying to figure out how she's going to be walking away from this to save face. Instead, they're mocking you. And she's got the most uncomfortable smile. And it's absolutely hysterical. If you haven't seen the video, you'll see the buffoon Border Czar, who doesn't know what to do. So some of the DNC mediums, you know, such as Newsweek headlines, this is what Newsweek headlines read. Kamala Harris accidentally claps to song protesting her visit. Accidentally, okay? So let's excuse the dummy Border Czar Harris for clapping at the music, okay? Because, you know, she's too dumb to ask beforehand, you know, what is this any significance, okay? And then MSN, Kamala Harris claps to Puerto Rico protest song, stops once aide translates what they're actually singing. Another MSN headline, which is a bit more accurate, embarrassing. Kamala Harris smiles, claps along to a Puerto Rico protest song. And MRCTV, okay, the cover-up continues. Kamala Harris mistakenly claps along with Puerto Rico protest song. So Baltazar Harris' first visit to Puerto Rico is yet another Biden-Harris failure. And you can't make this stuff up. You know, it's yet another blunder by the word salad Harris and a blunder by her handlers for allowing her to appear incompetent as she is. Okay. And it's just amazing the length at which the U.S. media tries to excuse and tries to sanitize these visits, especially these blunders like what happened in Puerto Rico. And, you know, you can bet that if this vice president was somebody like, I don't know, Dan Quayle, who mistakenly spelled the word potato with an E, you would bet the media would go absolutely insane over Dan Quayle misspelling the word potato. Oh, wait a minute. That did happen. That's right. So 5 months before the 1992 presidential election, you've got Quayle at some sort of, you know, photo op with young students, and Quayle is handed these flashcards. And this little kid gets up to the board, and he writes potato, P-O-T-A-T-O, and Quayle says, nope, that's wrong. So the kid looks at the vice president and puts an E on it. And that's exactly what was on his flashcard, was on Quayle's flashcard. Now, Quayle should have known that potato's not spelled with an E. Be it as it may, he was the butt of all jokes, Dan Quayle. Dan Quayle was the butt of all jokes. And yet, we have yet another blunder by Baltazar Harris. Yet another blunder. Whether it's giving us word salads to explain away some inane crap, or now she's in Puerto Rico for a visit, and she can't even, or our handlers can't get it correct. You know, Baltazar Harris visited Puerto Rico on Friday as part of a whirlwind trip to tout the federal aid the U.S. territory has received following deadly hurricanes and attend a Democrat fundraiser. Not Democratic, because there's nothing Democratic about the Democrat Party. Her visit comes days after Biden launched a campaign targeting Latino voters ahead of November's general election. So you see, it's yet another phony and ill-conceived attempt to pander to a group, an identity politics type of a campaign. While those in Puerto Rico cannot vote in U.S. presidential elections, despite being U.S. citizens, more than 5 million Puerto Ricans live in U.S. mainland. Accompanying Harris for a roughly five-hour visit to the island were U.S. Energy Secretary Jennifer Communist Granholm and House and Urban Development Deputy Secretary Adrian Todman. Welcoming them was Governor Pedro Pierluisi, a Democrat whose new progressive party has long pushed for statehood. Harris stopped what was a visit at a new home in the northern municipality of Canovanas, located near the capital city of San Juan. It had been destroyed after Hurricane Maria hit the island in 2017, a powerful Cat 4 storm killing nearly 3,000 people in the aftermath. En route, the motorcade passed, holding their phones up as it went by. Some onlookers leaned out of the cars to take photos as they waited for the motorcade to pass, and others stood outside businesses and homes as the motorcade continued. One girl held a sign imploring help to fix their homes. Anyways, so Baltazar Harris decides, you know, she's in Puerto Rico, and she absolutely screws that one up. It's just incredible, Al.
And screw-ups forever abound. Even in the National Football League, they are doing everything they can to make the NFL boring, and they're ruining the brand. The latest is hip drop tackles are now illegal and a 15-yard penalty. A hip drop tackle, it's a foul when a player uses the following technique to bring a runner to the ground. You grab the runner with both hands or wrap the runner with both arms and unweights himself by swiveling and dropping his hips and or lower body, landing on and trapping the runner's legs at or below the knee. That's also known as tripping somebody up as you're holding on to him.
Well, tripping is a 15-yard penalty anyway.
Yeah, but not when you're latched on to the player trying to bring him down any way you can. Now, why this is so outrageous is that a helmet-to-helmet tackle is now a penalty because of concussions. When you tackle straight up, you have to tackle just a certain perfect way or else it is a penalty. You touch the quarterback, it becomes a penalty. And now with this hip drop tackle rule, as you said when we were talking about this, they may as well just put the flags on now and just be done with it and turn the NFL into flag football, because if I didn't watch it before because of all the wokeness, now I won't watch it because the game has been changed and to such a degree it's hardly even football anymore.
I know.
So thank you, NFL.
They just keep continually shooting themselves in the foot. I mean, yeah, I saw a good tweet today about the NFL. The NFL builds walls to keep non-ticket holders out. So isn't it incumbent upon the NFL to tear down their walls so that non-ticket holders can get in and watch the game?
That would only be an equitable distribution and inclusion.
Right.
I agree, comrade.
Okay. Hey. And speaking of comrades, you know, we have watched for the last 1,160 days the transformation, the fundamental transformation of society. We have watched for the last 10 years, and it goes longer than that, but the Democrat Party has wants officially to take God out of society. We've watched for the last 60 years how the left wing, the progressive movement at that time, which is now the communist movement, the socialist, the Democrat socialist movement, break up the nuclear family. We've seen how since early 1900s and late 19 teens, how Margaret Sanger was lauded for trying to exterminate the Negro population with abortions. The Democrat Party then falsely promises to be the champion of women's rights. Okay, and of course now all the women's groups have been silent these last 3 years when cross-dressing males try to infringe upon a biological woman's sport. This actually caught my ire last week, and it's a tweet from Scott Hendricks, conservative AD5, back on March 19th. And the tweet reads like this: Massachusetts Governor Maura Healey gives outrageous and disgusting remarks about illegal Haitian invader raping disabled teenager. Healey states, it's unfortunate from time to time things will happen. And so, obviously, you don't want to shoot from the hip when something like that is printed and it comes out of Twitter. I mean, you do want to verify the sources. And Scott Hendricks is a good source, by the way. There's nothing he doesn't fabricate. But then you go and read the story. And it is absolutely outrageous. The Democratic Party is not democratic. It is Marxist. It is phony. They are absolutely total frauds when it comes to co-opting women's issues. They have abandoned women. They've abandoned God in America. They've abandoned the nuclear family. And they have now abandoned biological women. Now, we see how the left wing embraces cross-dressing males to steal biological women's achievements, especially in sports. unbelievable how the left wing has embraced cross-dressing males to undermine the advancement of biological women in sports. And now the fraudulent left wing, the fraudulent Democrat Party, is nothing more than deceptive, deceitful, and dishonest. Not only has the Democrat Party used black Americans as political pawns over the last 60, 75 years to advance their governmental dependency program and engender people to the federal government, but now the Democrat Party is continuing their assault on biological women. And this from left-wing governor of Massachusetts, Governor Mara Haley, after an unvetted alien from Haiti raped a 15-year-old handicapped girl at a Comfort Inn in Rockland, Massachusetts. An unvetted alien finds his way to Massachusetts. 26-year-old Corey Alvarez from Haiti raped a 15-year-old handicapped girl. There's three things here, okay? The abuse of women. Remember, it's the left wing who has tried to co-opt the abuse of women, unless, of course, that you're the Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison, who beat up his girlfriend, okay, but still elected to the high police chief in Minnesota, okay? That doesn't matter because he's a left-wing, okay, anti-American and anti-constitutionalist. So now you've got Governor Mara Haley, okay, who absolutely besmirches a 15-year-old handicapped. Two, handicap, okay? Where's the compassion from the left wing? Now, this handicapped girl was violated, and she's a girl, 15 years old. And this scumbag, this unvetted alien from Haiti, a 15-year-old handicapped girl, this is what Haley's reply was. Haley, Governor Mara Haley's reply. This is also an individual came in lawfully under the federal government through a federal program. Unfortunately, we have security and systems in place. We have vetting in place. It is unfortunate. From time to time, things will happen. The raping of a 15-year-old, an underage girl, a handicapped girl, and rape is simply an unfortunate thing because it happens from time to time. Left excuse the invasion of America when they excuse, okay, the invasion of aliens coming into the United States, illegal aliens coming into the United States, and I would submit that this person is an illegal alien because you can't vet not one Haitian refugee, okay, not one Haitian citizen coming out of Haiti. Why? I don't know. Maybe Governor Haley is not informed, but there was a coup. And the government is in absolute turmoil. You can't vet one Haitian citizen with the government of Haiti. You can't. And you're telling us that you have a vetting program in place? You know, there was a reason why President Trump's travel ban to seven countries was successful. There was a reason why the Democrat Party sought to undermine President Trump on a daily basis, including ridiculing him, okay, for having seven countries on a no-travel list, including Venezuela, including North Korea, two communist countries. You can't vet one citizen from those countries. And then there were five. There were five Muslim countries, not all Muslim countries, but five Muslim countries on that list. And Governor Haley now is passively just telling you, dismissing you, that we have vetting in place. Bullshit. Not only that, this 26-year-old, and this is not the only case of illegal, unvetted aliens raping women, or in the case of, what's her name, Lincoln Riley? Oh, I'm sorry. It's Lincoln Riley. I was just trying to quote dopey Joe Biden, okay, who was killed by an illegal alien, twice deported. And suddenly the Democrat Party, they excuse all illegal actions in order to justify their radical anti-American positions. Let's justify illegal aliens invading America. How do we do that? Well, we're a sanctuary state, so we'll just excuse the rape as being, you know, it happens from time to time. I mean, it's unbelievable what we're witnessing today in the United States coming out of a major political party who is telling us that they care about women. They care about women's rights. They care about children. And they care about the handicapped. Except if you live in Massachusetts. Because obviously, Governor Maura Healey doesn't give a shit about women, doesn't care that they were raped, nor if they were handicapped. Now, I wonder if her daughter, her 15-year-old daughter, was raped by an illegal alien, if she would just dismiss it as being, you know, this happens from time to time. Things will happen. Al, it's unconscionable what's coming out of the mouths of the left wing in America. It's amazing that they can absolutely dismiss this type of conduct. One, they already dismissed the illegal invasion of illegal aliens who broken the law to enter the United States. And the fact is that this administration, this regime, the Biden-Harris, the Obama alumni regime, has allowed America's borders to be open. It's intentional. It's all by design. And now the sanctuary cities and states are riddled with crime. No kidding. What a freaking surprise. I would have never thought it would ever happen. I mean, I don't know. Maybe the genius Maura Healey didn't even think that crime would be rampant. Not only is the state of Massachusetts and the taxpayers of Massachusetts having to foot the bill for translators, because the majority of illegal aliens that are being sent to the state of Massachusetts, a sanctuary state, and Boston, a sanctuary city, they cannot comprehend English. So now you have cities and counties, okay, municipalities, having to assume the cost of interpreters to teach these kids how to speak English, which is yet another financial stress and a financial burden on the taxpayers of Massachusetts. So at some point, the income tax of 3 or 5% is not going to be enough in the state of Massachusetts, nor the sales tax in those areas. Now, I guess Maura Healey, since this happens, that, you know, rape is something that it's unfortunate, it happens from time to time, they'll just slap this guy in the wrist because, you know what, the jails have become overcrowded, I'm sure. So instead of sending this scumbag to Walpole and let him rot in prison and then deport his entire chain of family, the state of Massachusetts, thanks to Governor Maura Healey, will coddle this guy and think that they can reform him. In the meantime, a 15-year-old handicapped girl in Massachusetts is now been traumatized by a violent act of rape. Unbelievable what we're witnessing today by the Democrat Party, by any political party in the United States. And I'm going to pick on what's labeled as the Democrat Party in the United States, because in the state of Massachusetts, the overwhelming majority of politicians in the state of Massachusetts are Democrats. There's not one Republican in the United States House of Representatives who is from the state of Massachusetts. Not one. And both U.S. senators, including Pocahontas, are all left-wingers. They're all radicals. So should we be surprised at Governor Maura Healey's dismissive actions of a case of rape by an illegal alien?
No, it must be overlooked, because these are the future Democrat voters of America, all these illegal aliens that are coming over. And like you said, it is by design, even to the point of the newest illegals coming over, the Haitians. And Fish and Wildlife officers discovered on a migrant boat, or an illegal immigrant boat, the report said the boat's operator, the illegal alien Haitian, was armed. There were 25 people, including 5 unaccompanied children, on board the boat entering Florida waters. Officers also found firearms, night vision gear, and drugs.
I mean, all Haitians have night vision gear, right?
Right.
Don't you?
Yeah, this is a national security threat, and the raping of American citizens is downgraded to, oh, bad things happen by an elected official as high as the governor, state within the United States of America. I never thought I'd see the day, but it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse.
Oh.
With no end in sight.
No. I mean, we already have an issue with the Democrat Party and the Uniparty in Washington, D.C., violating Article 4, Section 4 of the U.S. Constitution. The United States shall guarantee to every state in the Union a Republican form of government and shall protect each of them against invasion. Now, the United States has not guaranteed each state in the Union a Republican form of government by virtue of transporting illegal aliens, flying them to states such as Illinois and New York. They're allowing and they're aiding and abetting the invasion, which means that the Biden Border Czar Harris have committed treason. They are certainly anti-constitutionalists. And each and every person of the Democrat Party who endorses this type of invasion is also guilty of violating their oath of office and should be removed from office.
As they should, and the Department of Justice is no help. In fact, they're hurting things and making things worse for legal American citizens. The DOJ announced today, the Department of Justice, that National Red Flag Initiative. So of the 20, there are 21 states that are involved. The Red Flag Initiative is if your neighbor should call the authorities and say that you have a gun and you are mentally unfit, that will trigger the federal government coming to your home and confiscating your guns based on what a neighbor or someone who has a grudge against you or an ex-wife or anyone who wants to can call the government and say that you are not of sound mind and you have a weapon in your home and you're dangerous.
Great audience.
So the
my
Department
ex-wife.
Of, yes.
Go ahead.
Right. Well, the Department, the U.S. Department of Justice, they rolled out on their website that it said will better assist people in using existing so-called red flag laws to strip their fellow Americans of their gun rights. Such laws are common mostly in states with majority Democrat Party control, but it's also 21 states and California, Colorado, Connecticut, Delaware, Florida, which is on the list, Hawaii, Illinois, Indiana, Maryland, Mass, Michigan, Minnesota for our Viking friends, Nevada, New Jersey, New Mexico, New York, as expected, Oregon, Rhode Island, Vermont, Virginia, and Washington. This is an assault on legal citizens of America to exercise our Second Amendment rights. So as Haitians are coming over with firearms and fentanyl illegally, the government under Biden policy is coming after we the people. And the Republicans are doing nothing to stop it, or nothing of substance. Frankly, anything they can, they're not even making noise.
Okay. So I just read the Article 4, Section 4 of the U.S. Constitution. And to further proof that the Biden-Harris-Obama regime, Obama alumni regime, and the Democrat anti-constitutionalists, just take a listen to Amendment 2 of the Bill of Rights. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Now, I'm not sure what part of that is not understood or refused to be understood by the left wing in America, but the right to bear arms was also reaffirmed by Supreme Court Justice Scalia that the right to bear arms shall not be infringed. And this is nothing more than a bunch of Marxists in the executive branch of government unilaterally without the advising consent of the U.S. Senate, okay, making laws of their own to do an end around against the Bill of Rights. Go ahead.
Exactly. And Tommy Tuberville came up with the same analysis that you did. He tweeted this quote, "This didn't come through Congress," meaning the red flag laws. "This administration will do everything in their power to destroy the Constitution and the God-given rights of Americans." So you have one branch of office usurping the powers of the other, and Congress should be, their job is to fight for their rights, and they're just caving because of this uniparty. They're a part of the problem.
You know, in Federalist Paper number one, our founders were absolutely brilliant. And, you know, the Obama alumni machine tried to paint President Trump as a dictator, and he was nothing of the sort. They tried to paint him as an anti-constitutionalist, and he definitely was not. The real tyrant, the real authoritarian is the person that they installed, and that's Joe Biden. Now, we all know that Joe Biden doesn't have the mental capacity to do this on his own, and therefore he has to have help. And the Biden, you know, regime, along with the Obama alumni machine, are the ones that are invoking and enforcing this unilateral despotism. In part, okay, out of the Federalist number one, this is the writing, okay, from Alexander Hamilton. And that would have been in 1785. So this is what he writes. He writes, "History will teach us that the former has been found a much more certain road to the introduction of despotism than the latter, and that of those men who have overturned the liberties of republics, the greatest number have begun their career by paying an obsequious court to the people, commencing demagogues and ending tyrants." And ending tyrants, we must do so, folks. Okay? This unilateral act by Joe Biden and the Obama alumni regime in bypassing the United States Congress, irrespective of what you think of Congress at this point, the overreach by the executive branch of government is nothing more than despotism. Tyrants do this. And this is exactly what our founders tried to avoid. And I can't help but associate what Joe Biden is doing and what the Obama alumni regime is doing to what the Muslim Brotherhood wrote in 1984 when they authored the explanatory memorandum. I'm sorry, 1987. They authored the explanatory memorandum at the Brotherhood Shura Council and Organizational Conference. And the Muslim Brotherhood wrote, "The Ikhwan, that's the Brotherhood, must understand their work in America is a kind of grand jihad in eliminating and destroying the Western civilization from within." And it's almost like the Democrat Party in the United States, the Uniparty in the United States, has adopted the same principle of the Muslim Brotherhood in order to undermine America's constitutional republic. It is to destroy America from within. And the government now believes, with career politicians such as Joe Biden at the helm, Nancy Pelosi, Steny Hoyer, Chuck Schumer, Mitch McConnell, these career politicians have embedded themselves deeply inside of the U.S. government, and they now believe that they control and they can override the U.S. Constitution. They can override and they can suspend liberties. They can simply just take them away by passing these edicts, such as what Biden and the Obama alumni did in crafting this red flag law. This is nothing but an end around on the U.S. Constitution. It's an end around to dilute the Bill of Rights. But why wouldn't Biden and the Obama alumni machine do this? They did this through the Department of Homeland Security in order to regulate speech and free speech in America. So as the Obama, as the Biden and Obama alumni, okay, try to dismantle the First Amendment, freedom of speech, they are actively and quietly going after the Second Amendment. And this second, this red flag law is nothing but a tyrant in the White House unilaterally destroying Americans' liberties and dismantling the Second Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. I believe Barack Obama called it the fundamental transformation of America, didn't he?
Yes.
It's unbelievable what we're witnessing today. The fact that a career politician in Joe Biden, okay, is nothing more than a figurehead to the radical Marxists that are calling the shots in the White House. And the executive branch of government now has bypassed the United States Congress in issuing edicts to overturn the Second Amendment. They should put Biden in Gitmo along with each and every Obama alumni member. Go ahead.
Well, Representative Matt Gaetz goes on to explain that this is paid for by all the members of Congress who voted for the Congress's omnibus bill that passed with a resounding percentage of Republican votes. Now, here's how Merrick Garland and the Attorney General is selling these new red flag laws to the American people. And this is what propaganda, very good high-level propaganda, sounds like. It's a quote. This is from Merrick Garland, the Attorney General. Quote, the launch of the National Extreme Risk Protection Order Resource Center will provide our partners across the country with valuable resources to keep firearms out of the hands of individuals who pose a threat to themselves or others. The establishment of the center is the latest example of the Justice Department's work to use every tool provided by the landmark bipartisan Safer Communities Act to protect communities from gun violence. So all of you Republicans that voted for the Safer Communities Act, you just tore the Second Amendment up to shreds, weakened the Constitution, made the government more powerful in the hands of Marxist Democrats.
God almighty. Just
the way that it's worded is so Orwellian. The National Extreme Risk Protection Order Resource Center. These are resource centers so you can call in and say that your business partner you may have a fight with or have some personal grudge against somebody, you call them up and you go, hey, so-and-so's got a gun and I think he's a danger to himself and his family, and then that triggers that's the event trigger. And then the poor victim is going to have to defend himself that he is not crazy and has the legal right to carry his guns with the Second Amendment. How do you defend yourself that you are not a risk to someone else or others?
You don't.
How do you prove a negative?
You don't,
you
and they understand. Yes, exactly, and that's what the Marxists pride themselves on. They know that it's going to be impossible for you to defend yourself because all you need is a hearsay, and that's all they want. Because the idea is to erode your personal liberties.
Yeah, my wife, or you hear this so many times in domestic violence cases, and where there is none, but an estranged spouse will lie to the police and say that the other person hit them or accosted them or touched them in some certain way. And at that point, law enforcement has to take the other party in and process them and take them in for questioning as a matter of law until they figure out exactly what's happening. But the person, usually it's the man, is considered guilty until he's proven innocent. And like you said, it becomes a he said, she said, but in this case, It's the community says against you, and if you carry a gun or you have guns, legal guns, at your home, you are at risk for being a danger, and you could go to jail just for your constitutional right to carry firearms. And these red flag laws are so dangerous. How this got passed in Florida is a mystery, or other conservative states. But, yeah, people should be very nervous. And if you're not nervous, you better wake the hell up and quick.
Tim Tapp actually brought up put a nice statement in there. Due process delayed is due process denied. Of course, the left hates due process as a concept anyways, at least when they are in charge. And he's absolutely right.
Yeah, due process absolutely is an inconvenience. Yeah, mm-hmm. It can be bypassed through an executive order. It can be bypassed through you don't even need the legislature anymore. All you need is the president to issue an order, or Merrick Garland to issue an order, whether it's legal or not. They'll figure out in the courts later, but for the next 6 months as they're fighting it, we'll go ahead and have these oppressive, whatever they think is whatever they want to do, they'll go ahead and do it, whether it's constitutional or not. They don't care. They don't have to care.
Nope.
And if the courts say no, well, they stop, and it never makes the news, never makes the headlines. Nobody even knows about it.
You know, if there's ever any doubt as to why, you know, Joe Biden was installed, this feeble old fraud was installed as president of the United States, this is yet another reason. I mean, just right out of the box in 2021, you know, you had the establishment of the Ministry of Truth under the Department of Homeland Security. Then you had the rescinding of, 95 orders for the border. And now you've got the Biden-Harris-Obama alumni regime who's trying to circumvent and absolutely dismantle the Second Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. And they've enlisted law enforcement, but more important in it, it says prosecutors, attorneys, judges, clinicians, victim services. So clinicians. So you go to the doctor, and you know what? Isn't it funny how I did get a question from a doctor, and it's like, you know, I'm going to pass on that question. He looked at me, and it's like, he said, do you own a firearm? I said, I'll pass on that question. And he goes, well, okay, so you haven't gotten the COVID shot, and now you're not answering this question. I said, well, you have a problem with that? I said, I don't think it's anybody's business at this point. I said, I'm fine. You know, I really don't think it's part of this wellness exam. Okay. You want to ask me some mental questions, I'll take it. But, you know.
Speaking of mental questions, they ask if you feel whole today. Is everything okay? Are you feeling good? Do they ask you if you feel whole?
I told them my breast felt a little swollen. But other than that, no.
Well, the reason I mention it. Oh, because mine does, and it's a code word. Whole means that you are psychologically fine, and you feel good, and God forbid if you say that you're not feeling whole, you're having some trouble at home, or work is getting very stressful. If you mention anything that might be of a psychological nature or weakness, they will mark that down, put it into your medical records that you are experiencing mental anguish or trauma or insecurity, and that can trigger a red flag event to take your firearms. So also be very careful about what you say to your doctor regarding your mental health, because once that gets into your record, then you will be forever labeled and mentally weak or has issues. That could be anything, and you may just be feeling down that day. Everybody gets depressed every now and then. It's human nature.
Al, I'm going to tie this, okay? Because people have to know we enjoy connecting the dots, because there are no such things as coincidences. And what you just stated about your doctor writing this down,
yes.
In 2010, under the Barack Hussein Satoru Obama regime. They took over 1/7 of the economy with the taking over of healthcare in the United States. And now the government controls healthcare in the United States. Yes, there are insurance companies out there, but the federal government controls healthcare under the Affordable Care Act, a.k.a. Obama doesn't care. Now, guess what? Doctors had to spend, in some cases, over $100,000, okay, for their practice in technology in order to link their files to the federal government. So in the case that you just mentioned, if you mention to your doctor you're not feeling whole, and Dr. Smith puts down, Al doesn't feel whole today, I think he might be a threat to himself, boom. Now, is that the trigger to the federal government, who now controls healthcare, to now send to monitor you and maybe send someone to your door, and all of a sudden you have a knock at the door, and, Mr. Al, we understand that you're not feeling too well. Everything okay? You know, why are you even at my house?
Yeah, we want to do a home check, a home safety mm-hmm. check.
So it's no coincidence that the federal government, under the Marxist movement, wanted to co-opt and take over 1/7 of the U.S. economy. You know, taking over healthcare is critical because now they've enlisted clinicians, they've enlisted hospitals, and they can also tie in social workers. Now, no one's supposed to know your medical records due to the Privacy Act, but guess what? I don't know where you're located at, but you know, I can the local hospital has access to my healthcare because it's all part of the same network. Oh, yeah, we have your files here. You do? You have my blood test? Yeah. Oh, so Obamacare is never going away, and it's a reason why, another reason why the swamp that was led by Paul Ryan refused under President Trump to dismantle the Affordable Care Act. Why? Because it gives government control. Why? Because of the red flag laws like this. It's tied to clinicians. I'm reading the bill. Okay? The Justice Department has launched the National Extreme Protection Order Resource Center, which will provide training and technical assistance to law enforcement officials, prosecutors, attorneys, judges, clinicians. Clinicians are your doctors. Clinicians are your hospitals. Clinicians are your physician's assistants. You know, this is... You want to talk about the erosion of rights and individual liberties? I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to play this. There was an FBI agent. Dan Smoots. Okay, folks, this is 50 seconds. Okay, this clip is absolutely golden. If you want to know the difference between a democracy and a republic and a constitutional republic, listen to former FBI agent Dan Smoot, because he explains it well. And you know, we are living in the transformation to a democracy, which always degenerates into a dictatorship. And this is yet another move by a dictator in the White House today.
A constitutional republic, not a democracy. The ideal of a democracy is universal equality. The ideal of a constitutional republic is individual liberty. A democracy always degenerates into dictatorship, which promises government-guaranteed equality and security, but it delivers nothing but poverty and serfdom for the people it robs and rules. America was founded as a constitutional republic, to safeguard the liberties of the people against the tyranny of democracy or of one-man dictatorship. In this century, great strides have been made toward the goal of subverting our republic into a democracy. The foremost tactic of the subverters is subversion of language. By calling America a democracy until people thoughtlessly accept and use the term, the totalitarians have obscured the real meaning of our principles of government.
The totalitarians have obscured the real meaning. And, you know, serfdom It promises serfdom. That's what democracy does. The tyranny of democracy and the subversion of language. And this newly launched National Extreme Risk Protection Order Resource Center is just another subversion of language by the anti-constitutionalists in Washington, D.C. And shame on each and every Republican who voted for this nonsense. The fact is they're using taxpayer money to support this subversion of, one, the Constitution, two, the subversion of language. Unbelievable what we're witnessing today, all in a quest to absolutely destroy the Bill of Rights in America. You want to know why they're going after Donald Trump so heavily? Why they want to stop this guy? They want to stop this guy because he's a threat, the possibility of a threat, okay, to America degenerating into a democracy. And if President Trump is elected in November, the possibility of him cleaning house, including getting rid of all Obama alumni machine representatives, is great. Now, there are several things that have happened over the last week that are quite troubling. And one of those is the call to vacate the Speaker of the House. Look, as conservatives, we're not happy with the $1.2 trillion continuing resolution. We're not. We're not happy with the spending resolution that continues to kick the can down the road. We certainly aren't happy with members of the House given 72 hours to read 3,000 pages of bills. Frankly, I did think better of Speaker Mike Johnson. But at this point, and I have to give props to the Viking Holger, because Holger sent me a message, and we've been conversing about this. And, you know, we can't lose sight of what possibly can be going on in Washington, D.C. right now. And one of those sightings is that the prospect of Donald Trump being elected the 46th president of the United, 47th president of the United States is real. And the Uniparty and the Washington, D.C. syndicate are really concerned about we the people not falling for the minutia that's been going on for the last 1,062 days. And like many conservatives, we aren't happy about the $1.2 trillion continuing resolution. Shut the government down, okay? That's the best thing that could happen. You stop paying, stop spending taxpayer money. Now, at first, I chuckled at Marjorie Taylor Greene filing a motion to vacate the chair after the vote occurred. That would be to vacate the Speaker of the House. And then it hit me. It's like, this is interesting. And then I was contacted by the Viking Holger, who stated, don't fall for this. This is a uniparty ploy. And it stopped me in my tracks. And then he stated, right after that, I got another message from him that, hey, did you hear that another Republican House member just announced his retirement, his resignation? And that would be Mike Gallagher, Republican from Wisconsin. That would make 16 Republicans, okay, just resigning, including the establishment Vice President Pence's brother, Gregory Pence. And speaking a little bit more to Holger, we find out that Representative Gallagher of Wisconsin is going to resign early, not just not seek re-election of his House seat, but he's going to resign early. And that will leave the Republicans in the House with 217 votes, the absolute minimum it's going to take to pass anything by Republican majority. 217 to 213. Right now it's 218 to 213. Ken Buck, he bolted too. And with Gallagher leaving, it's going to be 217 to 213. But wait, it gets better, folks. You want to know about the cabal in Washington, D.C.? You want to know about how the Uniparty works in Washington, D.C.? Because there are no such things as coincidences in politics. You know, Gallagher could have rode this out through the November election, not seat re-election, and be part of the Republican-controlled House, because we put so much emphasis on Republicans and conservatives. We put so much emphasis on Republicans and Democrats in a two-party system. Anything but a two-party system in Washington, D.C. The term uniparty is so correct. And you know what? It was Donald Trump who exposed the frauds in Washington, D.C. But get this. So Mike Gallagher, okay, representative from Wisconsin, is not only resigning, but tactically, his resignation on April 27th then prohibits the state of Wisconsin to have a special election. Now, certainly a special election could be dangerous in the sense that a Democrat could get elected, and that would give the Democrats 217 to 214. But why would he wait to not allow the people, his constituents, to decide of their representation in Washington, D.C.? You see, there's also one more thing. And it's no coincidence. And I want to thank Newsmax for this, because today they also saw something was not right. And it also, to me, it validated Holger's suspicion as to why Gallagher resigns. And then Gallagher chooses the date of April 27th to be early resignation, which means that the citizens of Wisconsin cannot vote in a special election to replace him. But there's a billionaire. There's a billionaire by the name of Paul Singer, who was a primary donor to one Nikki Haley, the establishment. Paul Singer, a hedge fund manager, a billionaire hedge fund manager, by the way, has donated to 12 of the 16 Republicans who have resigned their House seats in the United States House of Representatives. 12 of the 16 Republicans have been bought and paid, I'm sorry, have been financed, received finance from Paul Singer. If you don't think that there has been a tampering And actually, the cabal in Washington, D.C. is absolutely nervous about we the people electing Donald Trump back to the White House, because the shit will hit the fan. Because this time, President Trump knows and understands how the cabal works. He understands about bureaucrats and how they seek to undermine one him and one our constitutional republic. It always comes to mind that Vindman, who was part of the U.S. military, he overheard someone overhearing President Trump's conversation to Zelensky about Biden's comments to Poroshenko in the Ukraine about firing a special prosecutor. Or how the cabal works when they bring a witness in, okay, for January 6th, and it's a woman who has a friend whose friend overheard and witnessed President Trump in the Beast jumping over two big Secret Service guys to commandeer the Beast from the Secret Service to head back to the Capitol. You know, a friend of a friend told, okay? Now, conversely, you know, on the other side of the coin, you've got two business partners of Joe Biden and the Biden crime family, one being Tony Bobulinski, who knows exactly what happened business-wise. He knows it firsthand, not second or third hand. He knows it firsthand. He was there. He had Hunter Biden sitting by him. He understands who the big guy is, Joe Biden. He understands the compensation package. On the other hand, the cabal who seeks to destroy Donald Trump, Cranston, witnesses on the J6 committee, who are you? I'm a friend of a friend who knows what happened in the Beast, and this is what happened. And suddenly, it's a credible witness. And Tony Bobulinski is not a credible witness. So connect the dots, folks. There are 16 Republicans who resigned from the U.S. House. 12 of them have been financed and received money from Paul Singer. If you don't think that the effort is either to bring the extreme Akeem Jeffries in as Speaker of the House prior to the 2024 elections, presidential election, or my opinion is that Nancy Pelosi did not resign for one reason and one reason only. If the Washington, D.C. syndicate was not able to stop Donald J. Trump from running for president of the United States, if they were not able to craft and manufacture false charges and continue to derail this man, Nancy Pelosi is the insurance policy in the U.S. House. She will sweep the extreme Akeem Jeffries aside. She would be nominated and elected Speaker of the House. Once again, why? It is the uniparty's efforts to control and to stop and to neuter Donald Trump. We witnessed that for 4 years, from 2017 in January to 2021, how the total and utter disrespect from Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and the effort of the Washington, D.C. syndicate to undermine President Trump on a daily basis. They concocted stories, including Russia, Russia, Russia. That was crafted by Hillary Rodham Clinton, her campaign, and the Democrat National Committee, who was led by none other than Little Debbie Wasserman Schultz. And isn't it ironic how Little Debbie Wasserman Schultz and Eric Fang Fang Swalwell and the anti-constitutional Trump-hating Jamie Raskin filed a bill in the House upend Donald Trump and remove him from the ballot, thereby the Democrats tampering with a federal election. Why? Because the United States Supreme Court ruled that only Congress can enforce language in the 14th Amendment barring anyone who engaged in insurrection from holding federal office. And it's why the destructive Democrat Party, the Uniparty in Washington, D.C., adopted the insurrection narrative. Not one prisoner, not one J6 prisoner has been charged with insurrection. Ray Epps has not been charged for inciting riots in Washington, D.C. He's got a slap on the wrist. Not one. And now we find out 3 years later that President Trump didn't ask once, didn't ask twice, but he made three requests to then Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, and the left-wing Democrat mayor of Washington, D.C., for federal troops to be brought in for the J6 rally, and he was denied. So Jamie Raskin, the anti-American, the anti-constitutionalist, along with the communist Chinese bought Eric Fang Fang Swalwell and the cheater, a dishonest Debbie Wasserman Schultz, have all signed on to this bill. Why would you bring it up now in March of 2024 and suddenly you have Republicans who are abandoning the U.S. House of Representatives? Well, that can only mean two things. One, they know what the end game is. And two, Nancy Pelosi is going to be Speaker of the House once again. Now, the individual who I was talking to, okay, concerning this, and I owe him props on this, is the Viking, and I see that the Viking is on the phone, so I'm going to bring him on. Good evening, Holger. How you doing?
Hey there.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
So, I just want, since you were talking about this whole shift and these people resigning from Congress and all that kind of good stuff, it was kind of what I wanted to just chime in about was the It's kind of like those elections that they have in Russia, you know, when Putin wins like his 14th term in a row, they don't even care what it looks like, you know. It's like who was the guy in Venezuela, the guy that ran Venezuela for so long?
Oh yeah,
what the hell was his name?
Chavez.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, every election would be, you know, he'd win, like, with 94%, you know. But they didn't care because there's nothing anybody could do about it. Everybody just, you know, everybody knew what was going on. And that's where we're at now in this country. That's the sad part of this country now is everybody knows why they've had 98 indictments of Donald Trump. You know, everybody knows what's going on. I mean, everybody. I mean, even the dumbest guy you run into on the street knows that they're doing everything possible to keep the American people from voting for somebody for president that the cabal or the establishment does not want in there. Okay? And so my point on this is this, is that The Supreme Court basically, when they struck down Colorado, they said, you know, only Congress can put in play that section of the 14th Amendment that deals with insurrection.
Mm-hmm.
A state can't do it. That's basically what the Supreme Court said. So I think, this is my personal view, is what they had to do, what they have to do is before the election, they need to have the House in a position where the day that the trial is concluded for Donald Trump in D.C., the Jack Smith trial,
mm-hmm.
when he is convicted of some of those insurrection-linked crimes that they're accusing him of, that's going to spur a new bill in the House being brought forward that basically says that any former president or any president who's been convicted in a federal court of such and such crimes cannot be on the ballot for election or re-election. And if they've got the majority in the House, that bill would pass and would go to the Senate. And, of course, they control the Senate, so it would pass the Senate. Biden would quickly sign that into law. And now when Al goes to vote in November, there ain't going to be no Trump on the list. You know, no DJT on there. He's gone. The second thing for stacking the House is, I think, the fallback measure is that if they want to do something with mail-in votes nationwide, if they want to, you know, try and do a repeat of COVID or something like that, they need the House and the Senate coordinated on that to do that before the election and all that. But bottom line is, when you look at these resignations and these retirements, I mean, we've never seen this in the history of the country. Never. All of a sudden just, I mean, all from supposedly one party.
Right.
You know, it's like, I mean, if you actually were foolish enough to believe in this two-party system, you'd say to yourself, okay, so these poor Republicans have been suffering through this Democrat majority in the House for how many years, had to put up with this bitch with the gavel, and they finally wrestle it away from her, and now they all quit.
That's what's laughable.
I mean, and the part that drives me crazy is it's so stupid. It's so obvious. And it just goes to further reinforce the fact that, A, they firmly believe that you and me and everybody else here in the country doesn't give a shit.
Mm-hmm.
Or, B, we're too stupid to catch on.
Yes.
So, and it, bottom line is, you know, people can say what they want to. They can say this is trumped up. This isn't going to happen. Blah 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 blah. But I guess in my view is if that trial of Trump goes forward in D.C. prior to the election, I don't know how you escape the fact that, you know, you could say, well, even if he's convicted, but by them passing the legislation calling for the removal from the ballot, what it does is it takes away the suit that could be filed by Trump's legal team saying that you can't base the 14th Amendment upon a federal district court trial outcome, because obviously they would appeal it.
Mm-hmm.
The legislation would be there to negate any sort of appeal.
Gotcha.
So I think it's something that when you look at the face of it, and especially like you said, Vito, for this guy to quit, okay? I mean, most of these people, you know, 3 months or 4 months before the election, you know, re-election in the House, they'll say, yeah, no, I'm going to retire, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we're seeing these people not only say that they're getting out, but they're getting out now.
Yes. So why? You know, you can understand, you know, how Mike Pence's brother, who's part of the, you know, the Washington, D.C. cabal, the establishment, why he would. But, you know, it's just amazing that it's no coincidence. And then the ties to billionaire Paul Singer, that's no coincidence either. And then you've got Jamie Raskin, and you have a co-sponsor by the name of Little Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who's nothing but a fraud. She is dishonest to the core. She abruptly resigns her seat from the DNC as DNC chair on the day the DNC is opening their convention. She gets caught cheating in the Democrat presidential primary. She got caught. And yet this Little Debbie continues to sit in the United States Senate. The O'Wan brothers story, that breaks. The O'Wan brothers, if you don't know, AWAN, are Iranian nationals who she, Little Debbie Wasserman Schultz, hired for her to be her IT guys. They have ties to the Iranian government. And they're gone. They're gone. And guess what? They left her laptop in a House phone booth. And I can't remember the guy who had it. I want to say it might have been Tom Fitton, somebody like that. But they left her laptop in a House phone booth, and they fled the United States. All three brothers did. And there's no ramifications. And now Little Debbie Wasserman Schultz is a co-sponsor of a bill to try to stop President Trump, okay, by congressional order, with this new law. And you've got all these people, just all these Republicans simply evacuating the House, it being the majority, no less.
Yeah.
Bang a Chinese spy, and you're fine. You're just serving the House. Just bang a Chinese spy, okay, for how long? Who knows? Sleep with the enemy. A communist Chinese spy, and that's fine.
Yeah. Well, I think the other thing I just wanted to add here, and I'll get off the phone, is the, you know, I've had this conversation with a lot of people where, you know, I've told people that, you know, the left wants to paint Trump as this cult leader, okay,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, the MAGA is nothing but a, you know, the sea of mindless drones who, like, you know, when they put the stylus down on the LP of YMCA, you know, we all just start to drool and follow his every step and all that, And my comment is that the people that are following Trump or supporting Trump are the same people that were in the Tea Party. It goes back 50, 60, 70 years, this whole ideology of ours. What you know, people say, well, what does MAGA stand for? Well, it stands for the same shit that people were for 60 years ago. But the point being, this is how this and this person I'm having a conversation with on Twitter, I made the comment, so here's the deal. I said, if they get rid of Trump, which is what they want to do, they think that's going to collapse, you know, all of MAGA. And that's what this other guy was making. His point was they think it's going to collapse the rest of MAGA, all of MAGA. And MAGA is actually a movement. It's not just people wanting to vote for Trump. And I came back and said, yes, that I believe, I agree with you there. But at the same time, I said, name one person. Say Donald Trump gets elected in November. He serves 4 years as president. He's done. If the Constitution lasts that long, he's done. Two terms, right?
Mm-hmm.
I said, name one person to take over for him. Name one person that could actually take over for him. I said, you can't even get anybody to come up with a VP candidate that comes close to MAGA ideals. Not matching up to what Trump believes, but matches up with MAGA ideas. And that's the part that is the scariest part, is when you have the people with this ideology that has absolutely no one on the national scene supportive of, you are screwed. Screwed, boys.
Well, you're a ray of sunshine.
Well, I've got a lot of people I know who think that when Donald Trump raises his hand to be sworn in January of 2025, that the Republic is back and everything's going to be cool.
Yeah, it ain't happening.
I hate to see people go through that shock. You know, I mean, this is some serious crap. And
the alternative is worse.
Like I said, I think what we have to do is we have to be very vigilant to watch what happens in the House, because I think that's where they are going to try and, you know, that's where I think the steal of this election comes in. It's good. They have found out that they can pass laws in the House and Senate, in Congress. They can pass laws that obviously are unconstitutional, but they're also passing laws that are, you know, just hone in on their agenda. You know, it's not
correct.
Just asking for money, it's for this, but it's actually specifically. So all of a sudden, you know, I think what's going to happen is you're going to see, you know, before the trial starts for Trump in D.C., you're going to actually see some legislation come forward discreetly. Like, well, yeah, this new bill just came up about somebody serving as president, blah, blah, blah. You know, I think they're going to set it up.
Don't forget the bill. Just changes in the rules are much easier to do, and they can be done without legislation or congressional approval. And those are rule changes that can be done at the executive branch level. That's to me, is a problem area that a lot of people aren't talking about.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know if does the federal government have the ability to say that mail-in ballots must be available in every state? They can't do that, can they?
No, they can't.
What's that?
But they did it. They did it.
did they do that in the last election, or was that just the fact that these states all did it?
Well, they did it under COVID, which was an unusual circumstance where they could bypass a lot of these rules and habeas corpus under an emergency order. Now, unless an emergency order happens in November, the landscape, in my opinion, I think is going to be a little bit different. But how different, we'll find out.
But in November, if you took a swing state, if it came down to Trump being elected coming down to one state, the state of Wisconsin.
Right.
If Wisconsin 2 months before the election said, you know, hey, we got some issues going on in the state. We've got an emergency. We're going to allow mail-in ballots in the state. Okay. They can do that.
Yep, they can.
So, you know, it's kind of like just making a list of all the things they can do to alter the election. I think everybody is like, you know, looking for the next COVID or something. You're looking for something gargantuan, and it's not coming, I don't think. I think it's going to be something much more subtle, something more that they're going to try to just kind of quirk the thing. But it's, like I said, I think their preference is if he's not on the ballot, basically assures them of a win. So,
yeah.
All right, guys. Thanks for letting me call
in. All right. Have a great week. Good, great call.
Thanks for calling.
See you later.
Thanks for the...
Yep.
Hey, Al, I think we got... Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to talk.
Well, go ahead.
Who's on the line? Let him on.
Boyd. Yeah, Boyd.
Oh, let him on.
All right. Hey, Boyd, how you doing? Thanks for holding.
I'm doing pretty good. How are you guys? You little white ball
peachy.
Chaser.
Doing good. Going to chase it around tomorrow.
Yeah. Hey, listen, you know, I was going to make a point on Gallagher's seat. Okay.
Yes, go ahead.
When's he vacating his seat? And that is April what?
27th.
Yeah. On April the 27th, the Democrats gain one seat, period.
Mm-hmm.
End of story, immediately. And the reason is, without being able to have a special election, what's going to happen is the governor himself, a Democrat, will appoint a person to fill out the remainder of Gallagher's term. And you know that person that he's going to appoint is going to be a Democrat and not a Republican.
Oh, you know what? I don't know. I thought the way I read it, that the reason he chose the 27th of April was for that not to happen, but that was for the special election.
That's right. Without a special election, the governor will appoint a person to fill that vacated seat from Wisconsin, you know, until such time as the election comes around. You know, it's going to be, what, until November?
Right.
November is the election, and all House representatives are going to be on the ballot 100% across the nation.
Right.
So for the next 6 months or better, that seat from Wisconsin is going to be held by a Democrat and not a Republican, which means, I mean, if it was if it was vacated before the special election, that House seat, would remain vacant until the special election. But since there is no special election, because of the date that he's resigning, and the governor will appoint somebody to represent that district, and he will report, he will appoint a Democrat from the district that Gallagher is in. I'm not familiar with Wisconsin law. I mean, they may leave the seat vacant until the general election just because of the fact that it's so close. But if they don't have anything, you know, in there for a special election or, you know, some time frame to replace a person, that person is going to be replaced by a Democrat who's Evers has probably already picked out. And that will give the Democrats one more seat in the House of Representatives. And so if they do bring up the bill, especially with the motion to vacate the House, the Speaker, then, I mean, Congress is going to be a mess, and, you know, things are going to go TU until November, or until, until January, you know, when they go back into session with new representatives.
You know, it's interesting that you said that, because when he announced it, after my conversation with Holder, I tried to find if there was if the governor of Wisconsin would appoint somebody to that, but I will go ahead and I'm gonna try to find out by the next Monday. Okay, because that's huge. It's absolutely huge. I mean, to me, that also explains about the Uniparty right there. That's another factor of the Uniparty.
Yeah. So, if Swalwell's and Little Debbie's bill hits the floor, you know, it's only going to take one or two Never Trumpers on the Republican side, and that thing's going to pass.
That's exactly right.
You know,
that's exactly right.
You know, and now here's another thing for this election cycle that's coming up. And Bongino brought it up on his show, and it makes damn near perfect fucking sense. A third party candidate, like RFK Jr.
Mm-hmm.
If RFK Jr. as a third party candidate wins one or two states in November, that could prevent Trump and or Biden from getting the required 270 electoral votes required to become president, thus sending the election of our new president to the House of Representatives.
What are you saying? I'm not sure I understand what you're saying there, boy.
I'm saying there's a plan afoot that even though the Democrats are supposedly, you know, all hot and bothered about a third party candidate, I think that they are really, really looking forward to a third party candidate, and a candidate that can and will win one or two states.
You know, I'll tell you, I never thought that
I'll put it this way. I think RFK Jr. is a coward for leaving the Democrat Party, but it was a reason why. I think he's a good team player, and I think he moved to independent, and I guess he's looking to get on the Libertarian ballot because the Libertarians are in all 50 states. And I think he did that for a reason, and that is he's playing by the party rules. One, he allowed Joe Biden not to be challenged during the primary process. That was the whole motive by the destructive Democrat Party, because they know Joe Biden does have the mental acuity to do that. They have to shield him. The Obama alumni machine had to shield him. And RFK Jr. played by those rules. And now he goes over to the Libertarian Party. Libertarians are equated with conservatives in some ways. I'm not saying they're conservatives, but conservatives who have a protest vote against Trump will vote for Libertarian. And somebody like an RFK Jr. on that Libertarian ballot will probably field more. Now, you had RFK Jr. was 20% of the Democrat. Just primary process scared the crap out of the powers to be who are ruling Joe Biden. And they couldn't afford to have any type of controversy in the Democrat primary election. So, yes, I believe that – I don't believe that RFK Jr. is this moderate and this guy who's on the outside. He's an insider. You don't abandon your father's and your uncle's party, two men who gave their lives for the Democrat Party. You don't abandon them. And look at all the Kennedy family. They couldn't wait to get their pictures with Dopey Joe in the White House. So – you know, I'm not buying for a second that RFK Jr. is a stand-up and stand-out guy, and he's his own man. Bull, playing by the party rules, and he's got one agenda, and that agenda is also to defeat Trump. So,
yeah. Well, you know, I don't know about that, but I do know that even though the Kennedys have been Democrats for fucking ever, the party has changed from the time that JFK and RFK were members of it. You know, if you really think about it now, you know, JFK would be a MAGA Democrat.
That's right.
Know? And I believe his brother Robert would be considered a MAGA Democrat. And since their deaths and everything, there hasn't been a strong Kennedy in the party. I mean, the lion of the Senate was a chicken shit. You know,
he couldn't swim either. No, go ahead.
Yeah. So, I mean, you could be right. I could be right. I don't know.
Right.
I wouldn't put any money, betting against what you stated, but you know, I think, along my lines is, you know, the way RFK has been, has always talked, you know, especially like about vaccines and stuff. I think he's more liberal than a lot of people want to consider. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, of course he is. He's the one that got bombing range closed in Puerto Rico, in a decimated Puerto Rico. They lost thousands of jobs as a result of closing the base in Vieiras. It was all due to RFK Jr. He's no conservative. He's no libertarian by any means. So I think he's a party player, and I think he's doing exactly what the party wants him to do. And I think, you know, shame on the Libertarian Party if they adopt this, the RFK Jr., just in order to legitimize their movement. It's crap, man. It's another fraud.
So. Yep. I will agree with you. But
well, thank you,
you know,
boy.
Hey, listen. I know Frankie's gonna come on here shortly, so I'm gonna bail on you, and I hope you have a good day out there chasing that little white ball tomorrow.
Hey, you, from your mouth to God's ears, thank you. Hey, Boyd, happy Easter to you and your family, huh?
Yes, and back to you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Take
care,
Boyd, man.
Good call. Now, the other thing, too, to keep in mind is that Trump's appeal, he won his bond getting lowered to $175 million. Otherwise, they were going to literally take over his entire asset holdings in New York City. So now Trump in New York is going to be able to challenge this. He's already said he's got the $175 billion, whether it be
million.
In assets, cash. Hmm?
Million.
Million,
go ahead.
I'm sorry. Million.
That's right.
Yeah, $175 billion. So Trump has that, so now he'll be able to appeal this egregious decision and hopefully take New York out of play. So that is some good news on the horizon, without a doubt.
Oh, you got to bet that Letitia Soros James was absolutely livid at the fact that they were exposed, and they, meaning the cabal, was exposed. I mean, you're asking for $464 million bond. I mean, can they be any more disingenuous, and they can be any more of trying to bury President Trump? I mean, how do you do that? And you know what Trump should do on the $175 million? And I know it's going to cost him money, but I would get Deutsche Bank, and I'd tell Deutsche Bank to put up the collateral, okay? I want to use Mar-a-Lago as collateral. Why? Because with the bond, you have to put up three times the amount of the bond in collateral. That means that it's $525 million. And Deutsche Bank should say, hey, we're basing it on the collateral of three times the amount of the value of Mar-a-Lago, and shove it right up the ass of Judge Enmoron, who arbitrarily and unilaterally, okay, valued Mar-a-Lago at $18 million.
Right. But then on another front, we've got France on high alert after the Moscow massacre, the Islamic Jihadi massacre in Moscow. We have France on high alert. So that part of the world is with 130 killed, 140 injured, that part of the world is on fire. And then we have Bibi canceling his trip to the United States after Biden refused to veto at the UN.
They abstained.
So the United States stabbed Israel in the back again and betrayed Israel. So Bibi canceled his trip over here and said, screw you, they'll take Rafah with or without the United States' approval, is what Bibi told Blinken.
Yeah. And they abstained from that UN vote.
Yeah. So that's another little fire that's going on. California, we've got the minimum wage hike at restaurants going up to $20, and we're seeing massive layoffs in the first job sector for restaurants. Another Marxist $20 an hour Marxist policy that is failing in spectacular fashion. So we've got a lot going on, a lot of different fires in a lot of different places that are sparking and burning.
You know, and that's the Marxist
track of.
That's the Marxist way, right? It's one, create class warfare, create unsustainable debt, and create chaos. And they're doing all that. And they did it in 3 years or less.
Yeah. Oh, and to mention the sudden rise in squatters in vacant houses.
Yeah.
That's putting a strain on private property ownership. We have homeowners coming in and getting beaten up. We had one homeowner that got beaten up and killed when he went into his own house. And then if a homeowner comes in and you call the police, say, hey, I've got a squatter, then it becomes a civil issue and you have to go through a formal eviction. So if any of our listeners should happen to ever be in that situation, you call the police and you say you have trespassers on your property. Do not mention squatters or it triggers a whole nother legal remedy to your problem.
Wow, that's a great point, Al. That's a great point.
Yeah.
You know, and I can't, you know, I have with Paris, you mentioned Paris is on alert now. You know, Paris should know about Islamic terrorism. November 13, 2015, you had Islamic jihadists cross the border from Belgium into France, and they proceeded to kill 130 people, 90 of them alone at a concert at the Bodison Theater. So, you know, there is a pattern that's occurring with Islam and jihadists using concert forums as a means of terrorism. You know, it's no coincidence that it happened in Moscow at a concert. It happened in France in a concert. It happened at the Pulse nightclub in Orlando at a nightclub, a gay nightclub at that. The Manchester Arena in May of 2017, the bomb was detonated at an Ariana Grande concert. Okay, October 7, 2023, the Supernova concert in Israel. There was a concert in Las Vegas in October 1, 2017, and 60 people were killed. So, you know, this is no coincidence, folks. So, other no coincidences, on Wednesday, right here on Global Patriot Radio, we got Hank Jones and Poly Sports. Check out Hank's show at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. He's going to have, I'm sure he'll be talking about the March Madness and other politics that are occurring. Also, check out, if you want a break from politics, check out the Simone Nicole Show, Wednesday evenings at Spreaker.com, S-P-E-R-E-A-K-E-R. Joshua has a great show on Spreaker.com, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. And Annie, Southern Sense Talk Radio, I see her in the house. Check out her show. She's not only on Blog Talk Radio, but she's moved over to Buzzsprout, B-U-Z-Z-S-P-R-O-U-T. Check out Annie's show, Southern Sense Talk Radio, on Buzzsprout, Friday afternoons from 1 to 4 p.m. with her great sidekick, author Curtis Bennett. Also, Joe Gibson, Restoring Our Republic, on Tuesday evenings at 7, and Audrey Russo, a great American, of Real Talk Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Thursdays, go to AudreyRusso.com. For a great blog spot, great news, okay, check out www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. Big absolutely does a great job on his blog spot, and add this to your daily reading. I know I have. Not only is it great stories from around the United States and around the world, but he has a great history lesson as well when he goes out and he visits the United States. There's some great spots in the United States, I have to admit. Man, Big, you did a nice job. Tim Tapp. Tim Tapp's got a show on Blog Talk Radio as well. I think it's Tuesday evening, so check out Tim Tapp's show. I want to thank Boyd for the call, Holger for the call. Hello, James. Good to see you as well, Snow James. Boyd. And Gulf Dogs is in the house a little earlier as well, so nice to see you, dogs. Al, any party shots?
Nope. Adios, amigos. Have a great week. We'll see you next Monday.
And I want to say hello to Sue from New Mexico. Thank you, Sue, for all you do, and thanks for tweeting out our shows, too. We really appreciate that, very much so. You all be safe out there. Be aware of your surroundings. Thank you all for joining us. We'll see you next Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Ciao for now, folks.
Yes, it was my way.
Ooh. Oh, man. I started that 10 minutes, 10 seconds later I started it. All right.
Well, you can't miss it. You can't make them all.
I know. Yeah, we finished perfectly. Yeah. We didn't get to the Moscow story. That was huge, too. God, dog.
Yeah, that was a big one. That was definitely a big one.
You know,
that'll still be playing out next week. It's not going anywhere.
No, you know, the interesting thing about that one is the first reports that were coming out on Friday had stated 40 people were killed. And it was like, okay, and now it's up to 137. And Putin tried to blame the Pentagon at one point, and then, of course, he's blaming the Ukrainians for it. But you know what? I had a discussion with Sue from New Mexico, and I listed a couple of stands like Kazakhstan and Tajikistan, and it turns out that one of the Islamic terrorists speaks Tajik. So, yeah, you know, it was pretty predictable that it was either Chechens or one of the stands that got into Russia and committed the Islamic attack. And as they do, as Islam does, they go into large venues such as concerts. So that's pretty scary at this point.
Yeah, ISIS is back, the Islamic State.
Thank you, Joe Biden. Thank you, Obama alumni. My goodness. God. Well, happy Easter to all the Christians out there. This week is Good Friday, Holy Saturday, and Easter Sunday, come Sunday. So if you have plans out there, family and such, enjoy the dinner and enjoy Good Friday. And, you know, just remember Christ died for our sins. So that's all I have to say.
All right. Good message. Have a wonderful holiday.
Thank you. Thank you. Definitely will.
Good luck egg hunting and whatever else you may do on Easter.
I'm a little bit old for that now, I got to say. But I do want my Easter basket, so.
Don't we all? There's nothing better than a Reese's peanut butter egg.
Oh, you're not kidding. Although, I'll tell you, what's even better is a grain pie, the Italian grain pie. And you just Google it, Italian grain pie. This pie is, oh, mamma mia. My mother used to make it, God rest her soul. But I have not found this thing, Al. It's a regular, it's a pie. I mean, when you look at it, it's a 10-inch, you know, cylinder. But this, each slice mm-hmm. must weigh 3 pounds. It is absolutely delicious.
What kind of pie is this?
It's called a grain pie.
Grain.
G-R-A-I-N. It's made
okay.
with ricotta. Made with ricotta cheese. It is, oh my God, it's just absolutely, you make the crust as well. Like, you know, the traditional Italians, you use egg, ricotta, cheese. I want to say, I think you use, trying to think, is it rice? You put some toasted pine nuts in it, butter, vanilla extract. There's something else in there I'm missing. But I think I might try to make that myself this year. I think I might attempt it.
Well, good luck.
Yeah. I'm not sure it's going to be, you know, it won't be the regular, you know, I got to talk to my sister to find out about the grain itself. So I think, I'm not sure if my, yeah, I'll have to check with my sister, but I know it's ricotta cheese and eggs, and I think you put candy fruit in it as well. That was the other thing. I forgot about that. Oh my God, Al, each slice has got to be like a half a pound. Oh my God. Oh, I'll let you know.
All right. You report back.
I will. All right, man. Have a good day.
All right, you too. Hit him good tomorrow.
You too.
Adios.